理课堂听 class.com。
Part A. Directions. For questions 1 to 5, you will hear a talk about Boston Museum of Fine Arts. While you listen, fill out the table with the information you have heard. Some of the information has been given to you in the table. Write only one word or number in each numbered box. You will hear the recording twice. You now have 25 seconds to read the table below.
Boston Museum of Fine Arts is a privately funded museum of fine arts. It was founded in 1870 and opened to the public in 1876. Originally housed in Copley Square, the museum moved in 1909 to its current location in another district in Boston. The building was designed by an American architect, Guy Lowe, and features a grand dome with ceiling paintings by American painterJohn Singer Sargent. The most recent addition to the building is its West Wing, designed by a Chinese-American architect and completed in 1981. The museum is divided into 9 departments, including classical, ancient Egyptian, decorative arts and sculpture, paintings, contemporary, and the most remarkable one, textiles. The collections range from ancient history to the present,and include such pieces as the Silver Liberty Bull, portraits of George Washington and Martha Washington, painted by Gilbert Charles Stuart, and a number of works by French painter Claude Monet. The gallery's exhibition space is 19,137 square meters. About 800,000 people visit the museum each year. In addition to its galleries, collections, and traveling exhibitions,The museum provides programs that include classes, lectures, concerts, and films for adults, children, and families.
Part B. Directions.For questions 6 to 10, you will hear an interview with an expert on marriage problems. While you listen, complete the sentences or answer the questions. Use not more than 3 words for each answer. You will hear the recording twice. You now have 25 seconds to read the sentences and questions below.If a couple runs into marriage problems, where should they turn?
The primary source of help should be the couple themselves. The last book I wrote, 4 Weekends to an Ideal Marriage, describes how people can strengthen communication by setting aside a special time or place to meet and discuss their relationship. If they can't communicate verbally, they might at least write down a list of things that they feel have gone wrong in their marriage.The idea is to discuss these matters constructively, not to be vicious in the criticism. Some church groups have been very successful with marriage encounter weekends that help couples with this process.
What if couples can't work things out for themselves?
If people feel so bitter that they can't even talk with each other, they should consider very seriously a qualified psychologist.And I stress qualified because there are a lot of unqualified people out there who can make things worse. The best approach, I believe, is to ask your family physician. If you're having some family problems or marriage problems, who would you seek out? In the main, priests, despite good intentions, are not successful in counseling troubled couples, except for those who have had special training in the behavioral sciences. If those two approaches don't work, then maybe the only solution is a divorce. This is particularly true if one of the parties simply refuses to work toward repairing the marriage, or, having gone through counseling, does not want to implement the ideas suggested.
How useful are trial separations?
There is value only if during the course of separation, the parties are actively doing something to come closer together and to find solutions to their problems. Merely relying on the old notion that absence will make the heart grow fonder never works.
Part C. Directions. You will hear three pieces of recorded material. Before listening to each one, you will have time to read the questions related to it. While listening, answer each question by choosing A, B, C, or D. After listening, you will have time to check your answers. You will hear each piece once only. Questions 11 to 13 are based on the following talk about napping. You now have 15 seconds to read questions 11 to 13.
If you feel tired all the time, you don't necessarily need to go to bed earlier. The solution could be as simple as taking a 5-minute afternoon nap. Children under 5 have an abundance of energy, and one of the reasons is because they nap once or twice a day. Many sleep experts' books think we're programmed to take a nap during the day, and getting back into this habit can be a solution for those who feel tired all the time. Professor Chris Istikovsky of the Sleep Advisory and Assessment Center thinks that one can feel refreshed after just 5 minutes sleep, and research has shown that concentration and attention are improved after even a short nap. Sleep is genetically programmed in babies, and it's only as we get older that we learn to sleep for about 8 hours a night and not at all during the day. But most research suggests that we're not physically designed to sleep for one long single block. Before the working day became 9 to 5, all Western sleep patterns were more broken up. Research has shown that in the Middle Ages, people's sleep quite often occurred in three distinct parts: a nap in the afternoon, an early evening nap, and another long sleep until dawn. So if you do find yourself sleepy through the day, don't feel you're being lazy by getting into bed and having a nap. Your increased energy and alertness will make the rest of your day extra productive. Questions 14 to 16 are based on the following interview with Sherman Alexie, an American Indian poet. You now have 15 seconds to read questions 14 to 16.
Good morning, Dr. Sherman Alexie. Let's talk about your life, where you come from.
I come from the Riz, an Indian reservation. I grew up there, lived there until 18. I lived on and off the reservation for the next 6 or 7 years during college. I lived there after I graduated, worked at a high school exchange program. I thought I'd do that kind of job to support my writing. Day jobs that require no emotional investment beyond 8 hours a day, where I wouldn't need to bring work home. I didn't want to be part of management or anybody important that had a job. I wanted to be completely replaceable, That's what I thought I would be doing for most of my life, and writing. Then I got a grant, and my first book got a front page in the New York Times Book Review.
When did writing enter your life?
Books have always been in my life. My dad loved books, and most of what he read were westerns, spy novels, mysteries. I grew up loving books, copying my father's love for books. But nobody ever showed me a book written by an Indian. Not even one piece of a poem. Nothing. At that time, I was going to be a physician. I loved maths and science. I got to college, couldn't handle physiology, and was looking around for options. And took a poetry writing class for fun.
Poetry was your way in?
Yes, that's where I started. I took the class and honestly just thought it would be an easy grade. But I completely underestimated poetry and what it would do for me, and the realm of possibility for it. I took the class and was hooked about 10 minutes after reading my first contemporary poem. Questions 17 to 20 are based on the following talk about public speaking. You now have 20 seconds to read questions 17 to 20.
Public speaking, the watchword is preparation. Most of us tend to put things off, at least occasionally. It's so easy to put things off, especially those things we don't look forward to doing. So if a speaking engagement is several weeks off, we may feel that we still have plenty of time. But as the day draws closer, we begin to panic. Don't let this happen to you. Start preparing as soon as you are given or accept a speaking assignment. You have much to do, and to do it right will take time. How much better your speech will be, and how much better you will feel if you have taken the time to do it right. When you are prepared, you have gathered the needed data, determined what is appropriate to the listener's understanding and acceptance levels, organized the ideas so they flow logically, select the examples and other supports for your ideas, and make them interesting to your listeners. Develop a great opening that you know will capture the attention of even the daydreamers in your audience. Check out the room where you'll be speaking and request any feasible changes you wish in the setup of the room. If you're prepared, you are confident that you can best convey your message to your listeners. If you've waited until a few days before your presentation to begin to prepare, or worse yet, the day before, no doubt you'll be anxious and with good reason. And now there is not enough time to engage in more than a superficial attempt. Both you and the audience will feel uncomfortable. Like retirement planning, it is never too early to start preparing for your presentation, so start preparing right away.